Hi, everybody. I'm Marcia Wallace, and I am an alcoholic. And I am tickled to death to be here this afternoon, and I really appreciate the opportunity to participate in this program. I think this program has just been great so far, and I'm especially impressed with whoever put this thing together. Cliff, whoever made the suggestion to take all of these ideas and put them into a weekend. If you listen real carefully from this morning through tomorrow and hear everything and ask God to let you hear, then if you leave here without knowing anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, then you really are in trouble. But I am glad to be here. And I have been asked to talk about how it works, and that's kind of hard because everything that's been talked about so far and is going to be talked about is really how it works. I said that I was Marcia Wallace, and I am an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is June 30th, 1981. And that's been almost 14 years of a journey that I never dreamed that I would be able to take. I would not trade a minute of it for anything, even the so-called bad times, because it's been in those times that I have gained some humility and been willing to listen to you people. You people are the God of my understanding, because it's through you that I have learned what I'm supposed to know about what my life is and is supposed to be. I think that if I love the excitement here. I love this program. I'm one of those, too, that thinks if you're working one part of this triangle or if you're just focusing in on one area, it's like sitting on a stool that doesn't, a stool usually has three legs on it, and if you try to take one away, you're going to be pretty shaky, and I can't make it on any one. And I love this program, and I'm glad to be here. If you ask me today where I am as far as this program goes in my triangle, I think that I do know one thing, that I'm working the 11th step by showing up here today, because it's sought through prayer and meditation. And every time I walk into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, for me, it's a prayer. It's an asking of God for help and guidance and direction in my life. And the meditation for me, when I come into a meeting and I sit down and I'm willing to listen and to open my ears and hear, and if I can meditate on what I've heard, then when I'm praying for the knowledge of His will for me, which is what I have just heard, and the power to carry that out, the power for me is the light to see. The light to see what is right and not what I think it should be. My perceptions got me in this program, and my perceptions were so screwed up. I think, too, that when I talked to Bill about this, because I was overwhelmed with the thought of how do you talk about how it works and in a short period of time. Now, I'm a talker, and everybody who knows me knows I am a talker. And once I get to going, it's hard, and I better take this watch off and better try to look at it. Clancy one time told me that if he were told that he had only 24 hours to live, that he'd want me to be with him because I could make it seem like an eternity. And that's the truth. So I'm going to do the very best I can with this today. But I think that we're talking about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And by being here today, I am practicing these principles because I'm honest enough and I go to a lot of these things. I don't know how people don't do this, but that's just for me. But I'm honest enough when I wake up in the morning, and those first three steps are operative in my life every day. When somebody talks about getting back to basics, it makes me kind of nervous because I better stay in the basics. And on a daily basis, I need to know that I am powerless, totally powerless over alcohol and everything else in my life, and I'm being honest enough to admit that I am an alcoholic. And with the second and third steps, I am open-minded enough to be willing to listen to somebody else where the power lies. And in the third, with the third step every day, I turn my will and my life over to your care. And here again, the God of my understanding has come to me through you. So by coming here today and going to these things and participating in this program and doing all of these things, I am trying to the best of my ability. Here nearly 14 years later, I'm trying harder than I've ever tried before. And I need this program more than I ever have before. And I want it. And that to me is the most important thing for me, because I have gained a life that I never dreamed possible through this program. We are talking about, and I do want to thank the people from this morning. I think that is so great. Dick, I did vote for George McGovern, and I worked for George McGovern. But and I love that program too. But we do. We all get along in this program. We are people who normally would not mix, and I wouldn't have. I love alcoholics. I don't want anybody else in my life. I don't like straight people. It's hard for me. It's real hard because they seem so boring. And I like excitement. I want excitement. But I appreciate what you said and the principles over personalities. Cliff did such a wonderful job. And everything he said I could relate to so from my experience in this program. And I am trying to practice principles over my personality first, my alcoholic personality. And you are the people. This is the place where I come to learn how to do this. And I better learn. I've learned it here. In order to be able to do it out there, I've got to know what it is that I'm trying to do. And as Ron with the sponsorship, I cannot think of any tool in this program more important, absolutely more important, to help me at least to implement the steps and to do the things that I'm supposed to do. I can think of nothing more because all these years, and I've had strong sponsorship, I sought out the person who would tell me the truth about myself, would never worry about hurting my feelings because she knew my life was at stake. And I respect that, and I need that direction. And she has standards that are way up here, and my standards were so low. And as Cliff mentioned this morning, I used to seek out the people who were down here on my level and who talk about problems and trade it all off and everything and never get into any kind of solution. It felt good, but it didn't help me any. And I got sicker and sicker. So sponsorship, I think, is so incredibly important. And I love what Ron said about this. But this honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness is something that is, I think, if we look at those principles and consider how absolutely... by the way, I've got to interrupt here and tell y'all a little story. I'm so nervous. Maybe this will help. Help me, not y'all, probably. But anyway, have you ever stopped to think about how... the reading of how it works in every meeting came about. I don't know that this is absolutely the truth, but it sounds good. I like the concept. And I also, though I've sat in meetings and wondered, well, how did they start saying the Lord's Prayer at meetings? What about the chips? Because I know the chips aren't given out all over the country. People got different things going on. But I have traveled some and gone to different AA meetings in different places, and I've noticed that in every meeting that I've ever been in, how it works has been read. And one of the stories that I heard was that in 1939, a woman came to Los Angeles, and she was bearing the manuscript of the Big Book, and it was in 1939 and around the time that it was published. She wasn't an alcoholic, but she was real enthused about this program because her brother had gotten sober in New York. And she just wanted so badly to find some way to tell people about this unbelievable thing that had happened in her life and in her family's life. And she advertised in the one of the Los Angeles papers for women who had, quote, husbands with bad drinking problems. And back then, I think it was primarily men who were considered alcoholics. We've shown them, haven't we, women? Really good, really good. But anyway, she wound up with something like 12 men and these women dragging them into this particular place. And they had, and from what I understand, it was the first AA meeting held. What am I doing? Oh, okay. I'm a jumpy, nervous kind, you know. But anyway, I understand it was one of the first, it was the first meeting west of the Mississippi. Anyway, and it was at the Hotel Cecil, I believe, in Los Angeles. And this group gathered at this particular time, and the women told the guys with the bad drinking problems that because they weren't alcoholic, the women would have to stay out here, and the guys would have to go into another room to have their meeting. So they went in there, and they didn't know what to do. You know, what do we do? What are you talking about here? And they got the, she gave them the manuscript. She said, if you want to take this with you, you can use it. And they started flipping through the index, and they saw the heading, How It Works. Well, and I love this part. It seems to be important. That's what they thought. This looks like it might be important. So they flipped to that part and began reading for a few minutes part of Chapter 5 in the Big Book. And then they decided to discuss it. The next time they met, they did the same thing. And the way that, from what I understand with the story, that the meetings continued like that and they continued to do this and that kind of, and it caught hold in that particular area of the country, but it never did go anyplace else. And then after a period of time, sometime in the 50s, that tradition somehow moved itself into other meetings and other places. And the person who was telling me the story was telling me it through the one of the people who was a member of that first group and had participated in that very first meeting at that time. So I think it's an interesting thing, because it is how we come into meetings, and I take so much for granted. But also about how it works when I hear it read in meetings. I think it's something that, if you've noticed, and I did it myself for a long time before I had a sponsor pull me back and yank me back and tell me to sit down during the reading of how it works, because this is the program. This is what we're talking about here. And people get up, get coffee, they yawn, they talk. I used to be bad to talk during how it works, and that's why I didn't understand it for about 3 years. But anyway, that she said, you know, sit down and shut up and listen, because this is the program we're talking about. So anyway, with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And honesty, we know what that is. We know what it is. We don't like to admit it, but we do know what it is. Open-mindedness, you know, the honesty has got to come first for me that I am an alcoholic, and to admit it to myself and to know it within my heart, and that I have absolutely no power in any way to do anything about this disease. The understanding of alcoholism has come slowly through the years for me, but once it took hold, that's where the miracle began to happen for me. But I had to show up and be here in order to find this out. But the open-mindedness, that was tough for me for a long time. And the willingness, as Dick pointed out this morning, the willingness is so absolutely vital. It's just, it's in that concrete. It's just right there. And willingness, according to the dictionary, is that, and I wrote the definition down because it's exactly what it means, ready. That's what willingness means, is ready. Prompt to act or respond. Accepted by choice without reluctance. So when I think back when I early days when I'd say, I'm willing, hell no, I wasn't willing, you know, that not ready to act on anything that you told me to do. But at least after a while and being beaten down in this program, I was so willing that, and I still am to this day, I am willing. I'm honest to a degree and only to a degree, and the only honesty I know some days is that I'm an alcoholic, but I feel like that's really all I need to know about myself, is that I'm an alcoholic and what being an alcoholic means, and that's why I'm here today. And I also know that for me, the early days were real hard for me, because there were some great efforts on my part to just stop drinking and think that that was all that I needed. And that just, it absolutely didn't work, and it almost killed me. I think something that's important that we need to think about, where the fifth step, where how it works is in the big book. Because I've come across this so many times when we come in this program and want to jump right into the steps, and I always look back and wonder, why can't I jump right into these steps, or why didn't I? Well, there are 58 pages written prior to how it works. It's 58 pages, and the two pages actually of how it works, identification is what Bill Wilson has been trying to do up until that point. It takes that long for the identification to be stressed. He starts with the doctor's opinion to tell me who and what I am, what's going to happen to me. He tells me everything I need to know about myself in two or three paragraphs, really, in the doctor's opinion, and then proceeds chapter after chapter after chapter to repeat the same thing over and over and over again, but in a different way, so that I can come to understand what an alcoholic is and whether I am an alcoholic or not. And if I don't know this, as Dick pointed out this morning, I can't go any further. I've got to have that identification. And that's why before I even take a step, I can't take those steps. They are just going to be some wonderful information, but they're going to have no meaning whatsoever for me in my life if I'm sitting in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and I'm not an alcoholic. People get so upset because we want to kick people out of these meetings, so-called, because they're not alcoholics. Well, there's no identification there. And I can't, it's just like when I used to go to church and when I go to all of these therapies and everything, there was nothing wrong with those things. But it would not work for me because I could not hear what they were saying. It's all the same stuff that I've heard and learned in here, but I wasn't going to be able to hear it. When one alcoholic could share with me their experience, there came the communication, the identification and the communication of, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. And from that point on, so much came to me that I could do this thing. So the steps became meaningful for me. But I had to, it took a while to get through to that point. Communication and identification is what it's talking about, because right after how it works, it says being convinced we are at step three. So that is the first two steps in here. But with each step, I think it's real important that I let you know what my experience has been with these things, because that's where, for me, there is one program and one program only. I never say my program. It's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. How willing I am to follow this program is how sober and happy and usefully whole that I'm going to be in my life. But with each step, I think there's some, there's four A's: admittance, awareness, acceptance, and action. I think action is probably the most, the key to this entire thing. How willing am I to do things that absolutely make no sense to me? How willing am I to take action and do things that sponsors tell me to do that make no sense? These things in these books that I don't relate to at all or don't think that I can. But with humility being the underlying principle of each step, then if I have some degree of open honesty and open-mindedness and willingness, then all of these things, these four A's, are going to be a part of the process of taking each step for me. And if these things are present, then the most, and there is no word for it, so I can't even begin to describe what happens. It's called spiritual experience, which to me is a massive number of spiritual experiences which make up a spiritual awakening for me and make that 12th step so real in my life. But from the taking of each step comes more humility. Get me out of me. We've heard the steps are ego deflating in depth. Thank God for that, because my ego is sitting right in the middle. My ego focuses on the needs of my body and my personality, and that blocks me from the spiritual. It blocks me from God. I came to know eventually that that's really my only purpose for being here and continuing to be here, is to do whatever it takes to get more out of me so that more of God can come into me and actually come out of me, because the book tells me, and I believe it, he's sitting right here. He's sitting right here waiting, but he's just buried alive with this ego, which is, and the ego is a repository for me for all of my fears, for all of my anxieties, for all of my selfishness, the selfishness and the self-centeredness and all the self, me. And ego means self. And I've got to find some way to get that out of the way. And when it happens, the most incredible things happen for me. But gifts come with each one of the steps of this program. There's a gift, a principle behind each step. There are lots of principles with these steps, but I begin to get gifts coming into my life that have been freely given and passed on to me. But anyway, through this, I was thinking this morning, and something that always sticks with me is, no matter how good your life gets, or how good my life gets, how good it is, or how bad or good, nothing's going to save me from myself. Absolutely. And I've had good times when I just wanted to slit my throat. What I thought would be good times, and yet there's that hole inside of me. So I've got to take some action on this, or I'm going to drink again. It's the most natural thing in the world. So I continue to do the best I can to work this program, to be involved in the things like this, and with this triangle, with service, unity, the groups, taking steps, taking actions. And it started a long time ago with simply showing up, not drinking a day at a time, and coming to meetings. That's always the basic foundation, but I see an awful lot of people go back out and just either die. I've had three sponsorees who've committed suicide, and that's an eye-opener. And I know that they absolutely were really good people, but there was just something about, I just can't do these things. I can't. I won't. And that's where how it works begins for us. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And our path is what we're talking about this weekend, the steps, the traditions, doing all of these things, going against what my mind tells me that I should be doing. Those who do not recover, which are the people that we all know and love, who they either get drunk, they die, they go crazy, end up in jail, doing all kind of things that they really don't want to do these things. But this is the power of the disease of alcoholism. They are people who cannot or will not give themselves to this simple program. And I see that will not in there. When Bill Wilson writes in two or three places in both of the books, he says, right after he says cannot, he says will not. Because when I'm saying cannot, I'm not allowing that God can or anything. I'm just saying it just can't happen. Will not puts the responsibility back on me, that I, the ego, the me that's present at this time, simply will not listen. I will not be honest. I will not open my mind to what you have to say, and I am not willing to do anything you're asking me to do, because I'm deciding whether it's right or wrong for me. And the simple program, I do think it's a simple program. We hear people say it's simple, but it's not easy. Well, this is true, but it's simple and it's easy compared to the life I led before. It is easy, real easy. These steps, working these steps in my life on a daily basis is easy compared to what the way I am when I'm not working them. If I don't have a 10th step, and I love that 10th step, I love them all, but I love that step, because the difference for me is I can either, with the step, I can have that negative emotion, just those sparks fly, and I'm one of these volatile kind of people, just shoot my mouth off and get mad and get crazy and want to do all of these things. Revenge and retaliation is the first thing I ever think about to this day. I'm going to get them. But the way, with the step, I can work through a little process, and I don't have to be miserable. And this was a real spiritual thing for me. I don't have to be miserable more than 15 or 20 minutes. That's amazing to me. Compared to 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years down the road. I can go to sleep that night. I don't have to stay awake for 2 weeks thinking about how I'm going to get somebody, or store it back here and be weighted down. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a freedom. But so it is easier. It's a lot easier. It ain't easy being me today, but it was hard being me when I was drinking. It was just exhausting. It's exhausting, so I don't want to do that. But usually men and women who cannot give themselves completely. I completely did not give myself this program. I completely would not, because you just had too many requirements. And giving up my old self, there was a price to be paid, and I wasn't willing to pay it. But usually men and women are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, and for a long time I thought that was true of me, because self-deceit got me in this program, and I know today that self-deceit is going to take me right back out. And that's one of the bottom lines for me, is lying to myself and listening to that voice inside of me, that ego that's in there and playing all the time, constantly telling me that the way I meet my natural instincts and the way I meet my needs, what I perceive to be my needs, is through a way that has nothing to do with a higher power. It's through the way I think it should be. And it talks about grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Rigorous honesty to me comes as a result of doing certain things. I cannot be rigorously honest on my own. I cannot work any of these steps, and I cannot get integrity by working for integrity. Integrity works as a result, comes to me as a result of doing certain things that go against my nature. But I can't be rigorously honest until I begin to quit doing certain things. Just stop it. I can talk all I want to do and be so proud that I know, and I've been to every psychological course in school and read every book that has finally told me that I'm a liar and I'm a cheat and I'm a thief. Oh, it's so good to know that. But until I quit lying, cheating, and stealing from people, nothing's going to change in my life. And I'm going to continue to choose situations which are going to demand that I do these things. So it's that cycle that I need to break. If you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. And that's what I've been talking about up to this point. It took me 2.5 years into this program to be willing to go to any length. I wanted what you had in that in the beginning. You seemed happy. Nobody was on your backs that I could see. You were laughing. You were sober. You weren't locked up anywhere. And I liked that feeling and things that I saw here, but I was not willing to go to any length to get it, because I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, first of all, because I was pushed in here. I had nowhere else to go. That was the end of the road for me. Those people out there were on my backs, and everything was falling in my life. I was losing everything that I had ever thought was dear. My child, my home, my family, my job, my business. financial ruin, every kind of ruin imaginable, and they hated me for it, and they were blaming me for it, for God's sake. So when I came in here, I liked it, and I caught on to something right quick. You people would listen to me. Those people didn't want to hear a damn thing I had to say anymore. You seemed to want to hear me, and I think that was the greatest revelation, that these people don't listen to me and talking about my problems. So I came in here to get out of their way out there, and that was also a good excuse when they'd be on my back again about how I was and how I was behaving. I'd say, well, I'm trying. I'm going to AA meetings, So that would shut them up for a while. You would listen to me. And I had problems now. Jesus may have died on the cross and been crucified, but he did not suffer like I suffered when I was drinking. That's the way I felt. I felt that, just that much self-pity. And it's like, well, I can certainly relate to what he went through. You know, it's that kind of sickness. And I found people who'd listen to this stuff, listen to me talk about it, just, oh, poor you. And he would just go along and just pat me and all this stuff. And I did something else. It's the most spiritual thing you can do in this program if you're a woman. I picked up a man. That is the most spiritual entity there is. For a woman, or maybe vice versa. I only know from my experience, because without drugs and without alcohol, I had to have that third thing, that natural instinct in me. Anything to deny who and what I am and what it's all about. So that kept me going. Now, I can say that that's a good way for a while to stay at service work and stay involved. Because I came to meetings. Boy, I was at every meeting and I was early. Of course, he was there. And I just got involved in the group and I looked so good. Oh, my goodness. On my first birthday, I looked like $1 million. I'd lost weight and I'd blonded my hair and just thought, this is the most wonderful thing. And I'm sober and I'm happy. In the meantime, my marriage has fallen apart. Obviously, it's getting worse because I'm never home. And everything's just getting worse. Life is getting worse, but I could block it for a while. So this is the way it went for the first 2.5 years in this program. In that meantime, I did do things that sponsors told me to do, but only if it was convenient to me. But there was something in me. There's that little voice back there telling me that I better do something. But I would come to meetings. I did get involved with the group. I did work with a sponsor here and there, tell her what I thought she wanted to hear and to keep her happy. I didn't want her throwing me out, so I had to do all that stuff. And I got involved to that extent, but it was because, hey, you know, life is good. But something began to happen. And this is where the transformation, the turning point, it says we half measures availed us nothing. We stood at a turning point. And I mean those half measures. And within that first page of how it works, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness is covered in depth. Every paragraph, in the first paragraph, honesty's talked about 3 times. Open-mindedness, they knew right there, our minds are closed. I'm not going to open my mind to anything you've got to say because it ain't what I think it should be. And the willingness to go to any length to get it has already been said in there. But anyway, I reached a point where this wasn't working anymore. That hole was becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And I can't stand this. What's wrong here? Well, in the meantime, I'd never gone to a step study. I had never opened the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think I'd underlined 2 or 3 things. I had never said prayer and meditation because I would forget. I just didn't have time. Oh, my schedule is such. I'm a night person. I don't wake up in the morning. I had to make notes and put them on the mirror to pray in the mornings. All of these little things, not doing, not taking any action for my recovery, my disease progressed. Alcoholism progresses whether we're drinking or not. And I didn't know that. Had no idea. And it's when I'm sober, and I found this out, and thank God for this. And it was the result of doing one thing that my sponsor told me to do that I didn't want to do, but I went ahead and did it. One thing she did for me from the beginning was insist that I go to things just like this today. She insisted. I sit through these terminally boring things and be just miserable, but I got in the habit of doing it. And roundups and doing the, I don't know all these 1,000 people standing up here. Why am I here? I don't want to be here. The second year of my sobriety, I was at the second roundup. I've been that first year. I've never missed an Atlanta roundup because of my experience of going and doing what I didn't want to do. But I was sitting there that night, and I wanted to die worse than I've ever wanted to die before. Sobriety, I was stone cold sober as far as not having had a drink, but not a thing had changed in my life except to have gotten worse. And you talking about a jumping off point as far as I'm concerned, when you can't live with alcohol and you can't live without it and you have nothing to replace what it does for you, then's when it's hell to me. There was no worse feeling when I was drinking. This was it, sober and nothing. And that awful honesty beginning to come over me, looking in that mirror and despising everything that I was seeing there. But I was sitting around up one night, and if I hadn't been in that chair, I wouldn't have heard it that night, and I may have been dead the next week because I was thinking seriously about suicide worse than I ever had before. But a speaker told me that it's not when we're drinking that things are so terrible. It's when we're sober that I cannot stand living this life sober. I heard that night something that I needed to hear from that particular person. That's why to me, sponsors, why speakers, why everybody we come in contact with in meetings, if we will just listen. Because in my mind, God's speaking through that person, telling me, he's given you the information that I need to know. And I need to hear it and be willing to listen to it, because someday I'm going to not only be able to understand it, but it's going to work in my life. And I was listening that night for some reason, and I heard it. The next 6 months were the worst hell of my life. But you see, during this process, the first three steps were coming into my life gradually. I am just so grateful for whatever reason that I didn't drink, but it was nothing that I had to. I don't know why I didn't drink. But through the next year, I was in the process of the first three steps of this program. And within the next year of my life, and that was at between 2.5 and 3 years sober, my life, I committed myself to this program, and I have never taken that commitment back. I do a third step on a daily basis. I do the first three steps on a daily basis to remind me who and what I am. But that big third step came at that point in time, that I would commit myself to this way of life. I would commit myself to this program. I would begin to work these steps. And for me, the third step is no more than making a decision to work the rest of the 12 steps. That's what it is for me. Because in working the rest of those steps, and it took a price had to be paid to get to that third step, in working the rest of those steps, unbelievable transformation took place in my life and continues to this day. It was the most incredible experience, and to me, there is nothing like it. Phil mentioned the ladies' meeting, and I've been involved with this ladies' step study for 10 years, and it's a gift from God. We have taken, and I had the absolute privilege. My sponsor, Maggie, had a group that I attended for several years where we took the steps, and every week we did a paragraph at a time out of the 12 and 12. What a joy. What a joy. There is nothing like it. I get so excited about this literature, I can't stand it. I could literally throw away anything else except the big book and the 12 and 12 and spend so much time in these things, but I'd go to step studies and big book studies because that's where the commitment came, and that was one of the first things that I did, was begin to go to these meetings to hear and to find out exactly what these books had to say. And the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh step, the sixth and seventh step, I stay in to this day. This is where I have to be. This is me as an alcoholic. But the fourth step, I was willing to be as honest as I could to look at those superficial things, but the things that had gotten me in here, the causes and the conditions. And in the fifth step, the greatest thing happened with me in the fifth step, where I had been focusing on the crucifixion for so long. The fifth step is where I begin to see a glimmer of the resurrection, and I think that's one of those turning points. But it wasn't easy. There's a price to be paid. I'd been telling God forever how awful I was. Lord, He knew how awful I was, telling myself how awful I was. But talking about humility, having to tell another person and do it honestly. None of this dancing around stuff, but I was willing to do it, because my life was at stake. It is at stake. And in 6 and 7, which again, I can't say enough about those steps, that's where the real Marcia better stand up. That's where character defects really come to life. What I thought was a character defect before, stealing your car ain't nothing compared to the feeling I get when I steal your peace of mind or when I steal somebody's time. And those steps taught me that that's what real character defects are. Over in the eighth step, it talks about what personality traits in us have injured or harmed other people. Personality traits in me hurt you. You know, that's hard to see, but then when I begin to get into those steps, and a whole new world opened up to me. The seventh step for me is the bridge between my past and my future, right there in that sixth and seventh step. And the seventh step, by taking the action from all of those previous steps and doing that sixth step and being willing to do it, and on a daily basis to this day, being willing to go back to that awful step, to look in the mirror and see me as for who I am and what I am, the rewards are absolutely endless. Because by the time I got through that seventh step the first time, and in the years since then, and it's been every, because we do this ladies' meeting every week and we go through these steps, just we take them just so slowly, and I can't get enough of it because something new comes to me every time. But what time did I start? See, I get so excited. Tell me somebody, Phil. About 10 minutes? Oh, Lord. but anyway, this is where, as a result of doing what I'm supposed to be doing, within that step, but actually the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th step, when I come to the 10th step, I have to come back to the 6th and 7th step, but because it's in there that I identify the problem. And what the big book has said all along is that somewhere in the past, based on fear, self-delusion, all of these things, my character defects have been activated by this self-centered fear. But I have somewhere in the past somehow set the ball rolling and set myself up to be hurt in this situation. This is where I quit being a victim. It was not you. I am responsible for me, and with God's help, I can be okay. It is not you doing this to me. It's my reaction to what you are doing. And what you are doing is just doing what you're supposed to be doing. I don't think people really are out to harm me. All they're trying to do is to live their own life, and I just happen to get in their way. And it's the same thing, vice versa. People just got in my way. But I quit outrunning myself when I get to the seventh step. I can look myself squarely in the eye and try to find out what it is within me and be ever so grateful. And this is where the gratitude for you people in this program comes in. Because every time I'm back there, and humility is in the 12 and 12, Bill Wilson talks about humility endlessly. And I don't even think it's mentioned very much in the big book, but he had 13 years to experience this thing to get to that point of understanding what humility really is. But one of my greatest feelings of humility is the gratitude that you people are here, and that you're here when I hit that bottom and when I need your help and I'm willing to ask you for it. But I'm not a victim anymore. And I also know, too, and it came to me at that point in time, that my life and my happiness has nothing to do with the relationship with other human beings as far as needing you to make me happy. It's dependent only on my relationship with God, because without that, I'm not going to have anything, and there's not going to be any happiness. So the process of going through these steps enable me to do 8 and 9 in a deeper, more meaningful way, and to realize that the harm I've done to myself spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and the harm I've done to you spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. We think about harm we've done, and we don't realize that harm is talking about spiritual matters. How we've hurt other people to the core. And working through these steps, and I said before, the 10th step is the greatest experience for me, and I want to do it on a daily basis because it keeps those negative emotions it keeps me in perspective, and I don't have to drag on with these hangovers, these emotional hangovers. And every character defect I ever had is sitting there waiting, just waiting to come out. And I've got to have a way. And the 10th step is in the 12 and 12 and the big book tells me exactly how to do it, what to do. And I'm eager to do that because I'm not going to be like I used to be. I am not going to live my life that way anymore. And the 11th step, as I said today, it's a seeking through prayer and meditation. And to me, it's doing this today. It's coming here. It's being willing to listen, to open up and to help somebody else, to do something, to do things that I don't want to do. Because every time I do it, I'm the awareness of God and the light of God is coming into my life, the sunlight of the Spirit that is forever blocked if I keep doing it my way. And my way ain't going to work, and it never has before. And the 12th step is simply a culmination of all of these things, and it's a continuing, ongoing process. How the measure of my sobriety today is how I treat other people. And a prayer that I learned a while ago that's really kind of scary, but it's a good one, is God treat me today how I treated others yesterday. And that's, hey, don't know if I want that. So that kind of keeps me in line. And I the practice and the principles in all of my affairs, Alcoholics Anonymous is a place that I can come to learn these principles. And to get some, and as a result of this program, I have but a smattering, a degree of honesty and willingness and open-mindedness. But I have to have them. I have a degree of integrity. I have love in my life today. I have a peace of mind that is just, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And nobody's going to take it from me. Nobody. No situation. That's my priorities are in line, and they have been ever since I went through those steps the first time, and they stay right there. This program comes first in my life and everything that's involved with it. My job comes second, my relationships third, and material things fourth. Because each one of those build for me, and if I don't have those things in order for me in my life, but when I have them in order, I get them all. When I get any one before the first one, I don't have anything. Whatever I put before my sobriety, I'm going to lose. I appreciate y'all letting me stand up here and absolutely ramble today. But I do get excited. I feel like I need a tambourine. I feel like I got a string of sponsorees over here, and I told them to stand up and shout if they wanted to. But we do get excited about it because it's a way of life, and it is worth your while. And it's not only just that. It's not just come on and be happy and have a great time. It's literally life and death for me. So I get it. It's a joyous experience, but it's also a very serious experience for me. And as I grow and continue to grow in this program, and each step for me is, what people call them growth steps, I call them surrender steps. Every time I go, I'm surrendering. I'm getting more out of me out of the way and letting more of God come up through me. And His joy is endless in my life. He's everything, and everything that I ever wanted I found in this program because of this. I think that there's a couple of verses out of the big book that I've always loved because this is what it's all about for me, but the one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added unto you. And if I seek first the kingdom of God, which is within me, and that means that I've got to work these steps to get me out of His way. All of these things, which are the principles, which are the joy and the happiness, are going to be added unto me. They have been added unto me. I wouldn't trade, and if I died tomorrow, I can honestly say one of the principles that I learned early on that has stuck with me, and when I married my husband, who's in this program, and he's one of the finest people I've ever known, and he is a great example of this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. But his sponsor told us, conduct yourself in such a way that if it ends tomorrow, you don't have to make amends to anybody. And it's yourselves, your God, or anybody else. And I've tried to use that in everything that I do so that if I die on my way home today, out on that freeway, to the best of my ability, I don't know of anybody I need to make amends to today. I do, and I think that I have been as honest as I can today, and I've tried to do these things. And if nothing else, that's a good feeling when I lay my head down at night. But the last thing that I wanted to tell you was, and out of the other book that all of this came from, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, and coming to these meetings, staying sober, and doing these things, we are praying and we're petitioning God. And with thanksgiving, and I am eternally grateful, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through this program. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, then do. And I've seen God through you people, and you people showed me the things to do. and the God of peace shall be with you. And I hope he goes with you today and forever. And thank you for letting me do this.